You are listening to Bit Podcast, a business podcast series produced by Bitpod on behalf of PKF Malta.
Hello and welcome to today's Bitpod session. Today we will be discussing ESG, which has been making rounds in the global business environment. With us today we have Janiko, an economist, who will be discussing ESG and its importance to businesses and investors, current trends and regulations, and finally, what can enterprises and the government do to promote ESG integration in the Maltese market environment. Hello, Janiko, and thank you for accepting our invitation.
Hi, Claudia. It's a pleasure being guest on this segment.
So to start off today's discussion, can you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, I'm Janiko Pabanero, currently working as a junior economist for PKF Malta.
Okay, so turning the discussion towards ESG. Can you define what ESG is?
ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance, which refers to the three key factors when measuring the sustainability and ethical impact of a business, company, or organization. Essentially, ESG serves as a signaling device for socially conscious investors to screen potential investments. And by looking at ESG-related indicators and scores, we can assess how an organization is positively contributing to society and minimizing its negative impacts. As defined earlier, ESG is made up of three dimensions: environmental, social, and governance. The environmental dimension captures how the activities of a company influence our natural environment. This can be through corporate climate policies, energy use, waste, pollution, natural resource conservation, and biodiversity, and can be directly observed through greenhouse gas emissions, toxic waste management, and compliance with environmental regulations. For the social aspect, it looks at the company's relationship with its stakeholders. For the internal stakeholders, it covers the elements of workplace culture, employee satisfaction, diversity, health, and safety and retention. The welfare of a firm's external stakeholders, such as customers, suppliers, and the surrounding community, is also considered. The social element can be assessed through initiatives that help to promote social justice and corporate ethics, and to fight against racial, gender, and other forms of unfair discrimination. The governance element, on the other hand, ensures that a company implements controls that would promote transparent accounting methods, integrity and diversity in leadership, accountability to stakeholders, and compliance with regulations. For these factor, indicators include the demographics of the board of directors, employee compensation guidelines, political contributions and lobbying, and onboarding practices, among others.
Okay, so given this definition, why is ESG important for businesses and what's in it for investors?
There have been growing concerns globally as to how corporations have been negatively affecting our environment. For example, in a study conducted last 2019, it was revealed that many firms have contributed to a third of all the carbon emissions in the world. Not only that, consumers, particularly the millennials and Gen Zs, have now stronger preference towards brands that are environmentally friendly and are aligned with their values. Companies around the world have acknowledged these calls, many of which have been proactive in rolling out initiatives that are related to environmental conservation, promotion of human rights, and fighting against racial, gender, and other forms of discrimination. Corporate social responsibility, or generally known as CSR, has also become a key element of business planning among many firms. Aside from ethical reasons, adopting ESG and transforming a business to become more sustainable will also open more financial opportunities. Enterprises that are incorporating ESG can gain significantly in the future from increased productivity, lower costs, better reputation, greater talent attraction, and improved customer relationships. There are also plenty of grant schemes offered by local governments and multilateral institutions to private businesses to encourage investment in energy-efficient and sustainable technology. On the other side of the coins, for investors, they will gain significantly higher returns in the long run with companies that are sustainable, energy-efficient, and positively contribute to the local communities. Investing in firms with good ESG standings can diversify your investment portfolio and reduce risks. There are also plenty of subsidies and tax rebates that are related to green investment, which can immediately improve the financial profile of an investor.
What are the current developments in ESG regulations?
There are numerous policy changes and regulations that were introduced at global, EU, and national levels that are related to ESG. In the recent 27th United Nations Climate Change Conference, also known as COP27, the commitment towards limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, as set out in the 2015 Paris Agreement, has remained the same. While disagreement between nations have been present in COP27, there was a clear consensus that environmental and social responsibility in tandem with collective action should be a key element in reaching this target. At the EU level, the European Green Deal was introduced as the flagship agenda with the main objective of achieving net zero emissions by 2050. This Green Deal includes various efforts to legalize climate neutrality, promote a circular economy and a sustainable food system, protect biodiversity, and fund the transition to a greener economy. The Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, or CSRD, also received a provisional agreement from the European Commission, which requires companies to assess and report their ESG metrics and present their sustainability-related risks. This applies to all large enterprises, meeting at least two of the following criteria. One, having more than 250 employees. Second, having more than 40 million euros turnover. And third, having more than 20 million euros assets. CSRD features a more detailed reporting requirements that are aligned with mandatory sustainability reporting standard and requires an assurance of such reported information. As for its applicability in Malta, we note that large enterprises only account for 0.1% of all the registered businesses on the island. Several initiatives are also introduced here, in line with the new policies introduced by the European Commission. The Malta's ESG portal was launched to encourage transparency among enterprises on their ESG disclosures and to usher in more investment in sustainable projects. The platform now showcases 17 companies' ESG disclosures, which are available for public viewing. Any enterprise is encouraged to contribute any information through the website. Malta ESG Alliance, also known as MESGA, was also formed this year by 13 enterprises to act as an avenue for Maltese companies to work together in pushing for national ESG goals. The founding members have already launched some consciousness raising activities with the educational institutions and policymakers.
And now for a quick intermission. At PKF Malta, we are enthusiastic about encouraging startups to flourish. We provide a wide range of professional services necessary for startups to take off, such as assistance with company formation, license applications, setting up bank accounts, auditing, accounting, and tax advice. We've also founded Bitpod, which provides startups with readily available office space. Email us on info@pkfmalta.com to find out more.
You mentioned the Maltese situation. So what are the steps or actions that local firms need to take to ensure that they do not fall behind within the ESG?
This is the most crucial part of our discussion today. Considering the infancy of ESG in the Maltese business environment, translating sustainability practices and ESG reporting into business decisions and operations will not be an easy feat. The first concern is data preparedness. Enterprises shall be able to present reliable ESG metrics, and this shall require improvements in data analytics and governance. Data management shall be crucial across all concerned enterprises to ensure that all disclosed information shall be verifiable and available to all stakeholders. Accurate ESG reporting will also require investments in technology that will provide consistent and reliable measurement of reporting of such information. Enterprises will also need a robust ESG strategy and a governance structure that will showcase their commitments to sustainable practices. A firm, depending on the nature of its business, should be able to identify indicators that would reflect its level of sustainability and can be validated through an objective review. Companies should also create business frameworks that should comply with internationally accepted standards for sustainability reporting. Compliance with these regulations shall also imply skills alignment of ESG and sustainability assurance. Numerous consultancy and business advisory firms have been starting to offer services related to sustainability and ESG. However, it is ideal for large companies to have in-house talents that can execute their business plans and monitor ESG targets. Experts in the field of environmental science, renewable energy, green building, and sustainable finance will be more in demand as enterprises seek sustainable technologies and solutions.
Okay, so tying in with what you're saying, in your opinion, what do you think that the government should do to support these new ESG regulations and assist the enterprises in reporting such metrics?
First, the government shall encourage businesses to undertake sustainability financing opportunities. Sustainable finance integrates the pillar of ESG in the investment decision of borrowers. Malta Stock Exchange has introduced discounted listing fees for green bond issuers that are seeking to raise funds for green and sustainability projects. Introducing other incentives can also be considered by the government, such as subsidies to offset expenses related to external assessments of sustainability framework to further induce green financing. Tax incentives such as credits and exemptions for coupon payments can also help investors in undertaking investments in green and sustainability bonds. The government can also be a leader in this regard. State entities and government-owned corporations can begin introducing ESG or climate-related standards in their annual report and disclosures to set an example for private enterprises and nonprofit organizations. In the US, for example, state-managed pension funds have taken the lead in adopting the ESG standards in their annual reports. Introducing the ESG standards will also be in line with the social and environmental policies that are related to government activities like the Green Public Procurement Policy. The government should also continue providing financial support to businesses undertaking investments in sustainability-related technologies.
Can you share with us your final thoughts regarding ESG, current trends, and prospects?
In summary, we project that ESG will gain more importance in the coming years as businesses start to realize the benefits of moving towards more environmental friendly and socially responsible practices. As firms start to adapt their business to improve their ESG standings, we can also expect regulators to formulate innovative ways to incentivize and implement more stringent measures in reporting these metrics. Here in Europe and Malta, both government and private entities have been taking steps to enable a seamless transition, particularly with the CSRD. However, challenges such as data preparedness, establishing sustainability strategies, and skills alignment of talents must be addressed. Nevertheless, adopting ESG principles shall be beneficial in the long run as it creates more opportunities for businesses to explore sustainable practices and technology that are financially beneficial while also helping our environment and local communities.
Thank you so much, Janiko, for being with us today. That was all the questions from my end. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
That's all. Thank you, Claudia.
Many thanks again for joining us, and I invite all of our listeners to stay up to date with our socials as we will be having other interesting discussions. Thanks for tuning in and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Bit Podcast. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.